Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Sunday, March the 19th, and welcome to our commentary. Just a quick heads up, we'll be doing several interviews next week with our friend Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. We're also going to be talking to George Rodriguez, and we'll have a special guest from Mexico City on Thursday, so stay tuned for that. We're going to be talking about what's happening in Mexico City, specifically what's going on with the presidency of López Obrador, who, as you probably know, has been in the news basically blaming the United States for, you know, the violence and the fentanyl crisis and all of that. Now, I don't know if he's just doing that, if that's just a front, if you will, for domestic public opinion. We cannot discount that. So we don't know if he's actually privately telling the Biden administration that, but at least publicly, he doesn't sound like a man who wants to cooperate with what is really a mutual problem, which is the border of the United States and this terrible crisis with the cartel. So check that out. We're going to be talking to George on Tuesday about the border situation, and then on Thursday, I'll give you more details about that later on. We'll be talking directly to someone in Mexico City or from Mexico City. Well, I want to begin very quickly congratulating Team USA and the World Baseball Classic. It's still going on tonight, Sunday. The United States is moving on to the semifinal game. But, you know, I didn't really take this classic, this baseball classic, seriously. It's supposed to be, it's still in the very early stages, but it's supposed to be sort of like the baseball equivalent of the World Cup. Obviously, they have a long way to go before you can compare this with the World Cup, because the World Cup is about soccer, which is the game that most countries play. And this is about baseball, a country, obviously, that less teams play. And even the concentration of the players is primarily in the United States and in the Caribbean. Mexico is with a few players. I know there's a couple of players from Australia, but the bulk of the players are in the United States, of course. So it's tough to think of this as a World Cup. But I have to tell you, the excitement this year has been incredible. I mean, the games have been sold out. The games in Miami, for example, have been sold out. The games in Japan were sold out. And, you know, so far, so good. I congratulate all the teams who are playing. I've only seen, honestly, a couple of games. The Team USA game I did watch on Saturday night. That was a great game when they beat Venezuela to move on to the semifinals. But overall, I think the organizers of the WBC have to be pretty happy with the numbers they're getting on television, as well as the numbers they're getting as far as ticket prices. So we wish Team USA success. And I guess this is every 3 or 4 years. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I think it's every 3 years that they're going to have this this classic. So good luck to the Team USA, and congratulations to all the other teams who are participating in this. Well, I want to begin today with just a comment, a reaction to this. And it's not a done deal yet, but the rumor that the DA in New York City could be indicting President Trump for this agreement that he had with Stormy, whatever her name is, Stormy Flowers or whatever, or Stormy Daniels, whatever her name is, doesn't matter. But apparently, President Trump, when he was a candidate, had this relationship. Actually, it was before that. He was a private citizen when he had this relationship with this woman. And then he, I guess, signed off an agreement with her or whatever to pay her off, something that is not the first time that's that's ever happened. You may remember that Bill Clinton had a problem like that as well. But for some crazy reason, much of it Trump derangement syndrome, the New York City DA decided, or at least has been thinking about indicting President Trump over a technicality on the agreement. And it is absolutely obscene, absolutely ridiculous. And it's actually evidence of, again, Trump derangement syndrome, the way that these people can simply, they just cannot stop talking about Trump. It's an amazing situation. They cannot stop talking about Trump. And that's just another example of this. Now, it's interesting because three extremely well-versed people who know this legal issue quite well, Jonathan Turley, who is a contributor to Fox News, he's a professor, I think, at Georgetown University, Alan Dershowitz, who is all over the map, he's a former professor of Harvard, and then Andy McCarthy, who used to be a prosecutor in that office in New York and now writes for National Review. Those three men have taken a look at the situation. And by the way, I should add that those are not pro-Trump people. I mean, Andy McCarthy is a conservative, yes. But Jonathan Turley and Alan Dershowitz, nobody really knows what their politics is. I mean, Alan Dershowitz actually has said that he voted twice against Donald Trump. So I think his politics is very clear. But my point is that all of these three men have come out and basically torn apart the idea that the DA has the goods on President Trump. They say it's a very weak argument, a very bad case, and that it doesn't rise to the level. And this is the key. It doesn't rise to the level that you would indict a former president of the United States. It just doesn't get to that level. I mean, if you're going to go after a former president of the United States and you're going to cross a line that we historically have never crossed in the United States, you got to have, you know, such a case, such a sound case that it doesn't even have to get to trial. You work something out, you know, settle some kind of an agreement outside of court or whatever. But in this case, it's a very weak case in the opinion of those three men who know a lot about these cases. And, you know, it's just pure politics. And I think it's going to backfire big time on the Democrats, and especially on so many of these Democrats who just cannot get over Trump. I mean, they're just obsessed with Trump. It seems like, you know, they have a score to settle with Trump. That's the way it comes across. And both of these people, the DA in New York City and the Attorney General in the state of New York, both of them basically ran for office saying, vote for me and I'm going to indict President Trump. It was that naked, I mean, that crazy of a proposal. So I don't think it's going to happen. Well, they may indict him, but according to Professor Dershowitz, it's going to lose on appeal. So I think it's going to backfire in the Democrats. And I think somebody in the Democrat Party needs to put an end to this before the Democrats basically destroy themselves in their pursuit of President Bush. They need to let go of President Bush because the more they keep going after him with attacks like, I believe the more that a lot of reasonable people look at this and go, wait a minute, this is crazy. You're going too far now. And it's at those points when people think you've gone too far, that's when you lose elections. Because there's a lot of people in the middle who are not obsessed with Trump or obsessed one way or the other, but they want fairness. And that's not what this is at all. This is not a case of fairness. So maybe they'll indict him. I'm beginning to think it's 50-50 now. But if they do, I think the Democrats are going to pay a very heavy political price for really a very stupid decision when you come to the bottom of it. Well, it was 20 years ago today. Those were the words, of course, of that very famous song by the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. You know, it was 20 years ago today. Sgt. Pepper taught the band to play. Well, it was 20 years ago that President Bush ordered American troops into Iraq. Hard to believe, but it was 20 years ago. Always been a lot of discussion about that war. And, you know, today I was kind of surprised how little discussion there was. It seems like people have put that war behind us. But did we do the right thing? I believe that we did. And let me tell you why. I've got a post coming out Friday morning, Monday morning. I've got a post coming out Monday morning on this. I think that the problem, in order to understand the Iraq War, you have to understand 9/11. Once you had 9/11 happen, and you had that terrorist attack on the United States, and you had the possibility that terrorists in the future could use even bigger weapons in the United States. And if you don't believe that was possible, go back to 2001, go back to 2002, because what everybody was thinking back then was exactly that, that we would be attacked by terrorist groups who would use chemical weapons or whatever against population centers in the United States. So that's what everybody was thinking about back then. And Saddam Hussein at the time had been accused of using weapons. He had actually used them twice. He used them against Iran, and he used them against the Kurds, his own people, the Kurds who live in the north. So there was always the question, do you give Saddam Hussein the benefit of the doubt with respect to these weapons? Does he have them? Does he not have them? Well, every effort was given, or every opportunity was given to Saddam Hussein to show that he didn't have them. But every time he had the opportunity to show that he didn't have them, he would run away from the inspectors and not allow the inspectors and so on to do their job. Finally, September 2002, President Trump went to the United Nations, enumerated all of the resolutions that they had passed that Saddam Hussein had not respected. So he was given one more chance, and I thought a golden opportunity to get out of this mess, but he didn't. He reacted the same way he reacted before, by giving not just the United States, frankly, but the United Nations the finger. So President Bush reacted. He went in, he took out Saddam Hussein. We can argue about mistakes that were made. Mistakes are made in every war. By the way, every war you have mistakes and strategy and so on. So I don't think that's worth the argument anymore. But the bottom line is Saddam Hussein is not running Iraq. And the bottom line is that we know now that he's not going to be using these weapons against the United States or anybody else. So I'm glad that he's gone. I'm glad that President Bush made the decision. And again, 20 years later, it's amazing 20 years has passed. But it did pass, and we're better off that Saddam Hussein is not in power in Iraq. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.